And we are now recording, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is.
There it is. We are live and ready. How are things, man?
Not feeling well. I've been feeling well in a few days.
Well, you are going to struggle through this pod.
Nah, I'll be fine.
All right. We're going to power through, man.
We are. I mean, I may mute my mic every once in a while if I got a call for something. But I'm going to do my best here.
I wish I knew how to do that. Oh, wait. There's a button right there that says mute. Never mind.
Yeah, you figured it out, man. That's
awesome. Literally a soft button right there. Just awesome, man.
Yeah, other than that, you know, basically did nothing all weekend other than act like a big baby on the couch watching TV.
those are some good times, though.
Yeah. Did some watching, though. Watched a bunch of stuff this weekend.
What'd you watch, man? Talk to me.
I watched Randall Park's Aquaman 2. I caught that.
I love that. That's the exact title. The hero. We didn't get, but the hero we all deserved, okay? Randall Park.
Yeah. which one that text you? Oh, the change up. Watch that. Caught that sometime.
Yes, you did.
Over the whatever. That was a good time. I had heard about this at some point with this movie. I just never knew the title of it. Like, I knew it was out there.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of stumbled upon it. It just popped up on Netflix, I believe is where I watched it.
Good watch, man.
Yeah. And also caught Iron Man 1, 2, and 3 over the weekend.
You just had... That you had a good ass time right there. So, did you watch Iron Man 1, 2, and 3 back to back to back?
Yes.
Okay. So,
it was fantastic.
I was sick for like a day and a half last spring. I don't get sick often, but I was down for the count. I couldn't move. I was like literally
that's a long time.
Grandpa Joe, that liar, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I was legit bedridden, okay? I couldn't move, okay? If Charlie came in with a golden ticket, I would have told him to F himself, okay? I wouldn't be able to, I can't go with you, okay? That's how bad it was, okay?
Okay. I feel that.
Yeah. So obviously, I couldn't do nothing but watch movies. Oh, that's it. So
yeah.
I watched Godzilla 2014.
Nice.
I watched Kong Skull Island 2017. I watched Godzilla King of the Monsters. I think that came out like 2018, 2019, something like that.
And then
I watched the newest one. Godzilla versus Kong. I watched them all back to back to back to back. Was I upset about it at all? No, it was the best time of my life. I actually felt really
just chill.
Just I felt really good after watching all those.
It's a terrible time, like the way you feel, but it's enjoyable when you just get to chill out and do nothing and you have an excuse to do it. It's whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you have a better appreciation for Iron Man 3 after watching it again?
I mean, I've always appreciated Iron Man 3.
Okay. I've actually never asked question.
I've never had any issues with any of them.
A lot of people hate Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3. Well, I don't know why anybody would hate Iron Man 3.
Well, because...
I mean, I could get being like... The lesser of them, maybe, but to hate it?
You shut your mouth. AC/DC's gone, okay? Okay?
Well, like Happy I said, Hogan, the Happy lesser Hogan is, of them.
Happy Hogan is, like, in the hospital the entire time, okay? And then the Mandarin twist. People were just so mad. People were so mad. Like, the first follow-up after the Avengers, the billion-dollar Avengers movie, is Iron Man 3. Yeah. And it goes and makes $1 billion, but they were, like, expecting world-changing type movie, and it wasn't. It wasn't at all.
Well, you kind of have that after, like, the big movie, right? Like,
yeah.
The world, like, the world's kind of in shambles, even though we finished out a series.
True.
There's nothing really to do but build back, right? That's why you have those movies that are kind of, eh.
I agree, man. I agree.
But, you know, I feel is a strong word, but it's whatever.
Iron Man 3 was not a Marvel movie. It was a Shane Black movie. It was like watching Kiss Kiss Bang Bang or the Nice Guys with Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. It's like one of those movies where it's not Marvel. It's just, it's one of his movies.
Yeah, I mean, you can replace Rhodey and Tony with Ryan and
Russell man. Russell Crowe right there. Yeah. So money, dude. So money, man.
But yeah, I mean, the trio for me is just fine. I don't have any issues with any of them.
Favorite
Favorite
suit out of the three. We're just going to sit here and talk about the Iron Man series for an hour or so. Well,
Iron Man 3, you mean like the ones he actually wore? I mean, he wore...
Out of the three movies, which Mark was your favorite?
Oh, okay. I got you. I mean, the most badass one is the suitcase suit from Iron Man 2.
That is so bad. Yes, exactly.
Once you get up to like the nanotech and stuff in the later on in the movies, that's crazier. But out of the series, yeah, the suitcase suit.
The suitcase suit is the most badass. And the whole time you're like, what the hell is it? What's in the suit? Like, what the hell is the suit? Like, it can't be an Iron Man suit. We've never seen anything that small. Like, he's usually like in all these contraptions, and then it's the suit that he I was like, dude, this movie.
I mean, he did almost die in it though, but you know, it was aesthetically pleasing. That's all I'm gonna say.
He figured it out. Welcome to the episode of Movie in a Pod. I'm Clyde Smith.
And I'm Javier Villalobos.
On this week's episode, we're discussing the trailers for The Watchers, Horizon, and American Saga, Chapter 1 in our Movie of the Week, 10 Things I Hate About You. All right, team. Y'all having a good week? Wrapping it up here. All right, we got some trailers coming at you here. So The Watchers, and then Kevin Costner's Horizon and American Saga. It's supposed to be like 19 chapters to this thing. Seems like he's gonna do this like my man's doing Avatar. He's just gonna make 15,000 of these things. Let's call it a day. For the rest of his life. So Kevin Costner is now James Cameron. So yeah. So guys, you're going to see our full reaction of these trailers on our YouTube page. You'll see the whole pod on our YouTube page. We do have some socials where we drop some cool stuff on there. Like, share, subscribe. Find all that information where, Javi?
In the link in the bio or the show notes.
In the bio, show notes, whatever you're listening to on that link to tree. This, it's in there somewhere. It's called a link tree. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And we're supposed to be doing Dune this week, guys. Apologies about that. Some things happen for unknown reasons, and those unknown reasons is Javi's sick ass. So he's here. It's his fault. He's raising his hand. This is an audio medium. So you got to tell him.
I just raised my hand. You're supposed to tell him.
That's my fault. I can't
narrate my own life here.
They could have said... They could have named this movie like the origin of the Mole Man if they were just going to move my man underground like that, and that's where he's going to live. You know what I mean? This is your home now, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is The Watchers. According to IMDb, a young artist gets stranded in an extensive, immaculate forest in Western Ireland. Mistake number two, where after finding shelter, she becomes trapped alongside three strangers stalked by mysterious creatures each night. So this is produced by M. Night Shyamalan, but is directed by Ishana Shyamalan, which I believe is his daughter. Yes.
Let's see. What? I did not get any more information about her. That's fine.
Nope. None. She does have a show called Servant on Apple TV Plus that I've never watched. But other than that, yeah. This is like the Shyamalans, they just don't like anything happy.
Mm-mm.
They don't. Nope. Can't be at all. I can't get like a rom-com out of this family. Nope.
Yeah, every time his name pops up on the screen or anywhere, just going to be weird. Like, especially the trailer. Trailer's going to be super weird. Every time.
And like, so we got Dakota Fanning in this movie, and how do you even get there? Like, what, like, that's my first question. How are you there?
Listen, Cloud. This is what happens. There's some people in this world who just go out in the woods for no reason. There's some people that don't.
I'm one of those who don't. I'll never be there.
I am one that will never be in the woods for no reason.
Let me go out of the States and then go into a foreign woods in Ireland. Let that be the thing that I go do. No. And then like the watchers. So like, what is the creepy, weird thing that's actually out there? Right. That's always the twist. We can do the Shyamalan family now. They're good at like that twist in the movie of what that actual thing is. You remember The Village?
Yes, I remember The Village. Yeah.
Mid 2000, maybe like 2004 or something like that.
Right.
That twist was wild. Where like the thing, if you haven't seen The Village, basically the thing that the whole village thought was out there.
Spoiler alert.
Was not. It was something else. Right. And yeah, spoiler alert. Sorry. I tried to spoil less, but you know, it's kind of difficult with these movies. So like,
I feel like somebody hasn't seen it, they're not just going to, it's over. They're not going to see it at this point.
Hey man, you just now watched The Change Up. So what's up? Point taken. I know. Moving forward.
My apologies. My apologies. My apologies.
Now watch that Ryan Reynolds, Jason Bateman classic. What's wrong with you, man?
So good.
But I don't know about this one, man. It doesn't entice me because I don't care for these type of movies. I just don't.
Yeah, like, and it really kind of just depends on the trailer. Like, we saw, when we watched Old, that trailer was kind of weird, but it was very mysterious, right?
Agreed.
There wasn't no weird creatures, and he kind of wanted to know, like, why is that happening to them on that beach? And then you got this one that's just, you know, there's something that may be a monster, may just be some weird people. Not really into that.
I have an idea. Keep your ass inside the thing, the box, the thingy that you're in.
Yeah.
Don't go out. Matter of fact, keep the blinds down.
You know
she's
going to go. She's already in the woods. She already went to the woods, Clyde.
Yeah. She's going to.
So.
She's going to go investigate.
Explores. Yeah.
So, something I am not. No. Who's the. Like, black people in horror movies, one, we get thrown out there as far as like, go see what it is. But have you not noticed that it's always the black and the Hispanics are like, we never asked, what was that noise? We never asked that question.
We got no business knowing what that noise was.
It could be a chainsaw and a dude banging at your door. We going to be, turn the volume up on the game, bro. Like, this is never going to be.
As long as the noise stays outside, we're good.
Noise is over there.
Yeah.
I would be over here. Simple as that. Team, we have 2024's The Watcher from the Shyamalan's starring Dakota Fanning. Let us know your thoughts about this. What is your favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie? And let us know in the comments, team. All right, team. We have Horizon, An American Saga, Chapter 1. According to IMDb here, we have chronicles a multifaceted 15-year span of pre- and post-Civil War expansion and settlement of the American West. Directed by Kevin Costner. Written by John Barrett and Kevin Costner. Starring Kevin Costner. And a bunch of other people as well, man. We got Sienna Miller, Abby Lee, Jenna Malone, Sam Worthington, Jamie Lee Bower, Michael Rooker, Will Patton, Giovanna Rabisky, Danny Huston, Thomas Hayden Church, Luke Wilson, Dale Dickey, David O'Hara. So many names, so many people, so many stars. Once again, except for you and I, man. I guess we didn't get called for that check, I guess.
I guess my first read-through didn't go well. So.
So, you know what? There's always chapter two.
Man. I think Kevin was just afraid of my beard. That's what it was, my mustache. You know what?
Beard?
He didn't want the competition, is what it was.
He's like, I might have to freaking... this guy might have to be the damn lead with this stash. Damn. I'm going to keep my ass in the director's chair, I guess, with this guy. Y'all got the same hat size and everything, man. Oh, shit.
Man. That was a long trailer.
That was a 3-minute and 15-second trailer. Like, this movie better be 3 hours long, okay, for a 3-minute trailer. Typically, trailers, if the movie, I'm lying right now, but every minute for every hour. Is what I hear.
Gotcha. Yeah,
totally just made that up, by the way. talk to me, man. What do you think about this trailer?
Yeah, I mean, everything you saw in there was gorgeous. The land, the towns, you know, just, you know, we kind of get thrown back into... the Western, right? Not way back, but enough to where you get that feel, right? You're riding, you're in the small town, you're riding horses in the desert and all that fun stuff. But this cast, I mean, that cast can only make this thing awesome because you're really not getting a lot from anything else other than the cast in this kind of movie, right?
I mean, the visuals and everything are going to be gorgeous. Like that vast look and feel of the American West in that time frame is going to look really, really cool, man. And you know, Kevin Costner has always been a movie maker who puts that beautiful landscape on screen, so that's going to be really awesome to watch. And Kevin Costner's not a guy to, like, shy away from truth as well. You know, Hollywood likes to wash things in regards to some, like, their movies as far as depicting exactly what happened. But Kevin Costner's always been the type of guy who tells the truth in cinema. And I've always appreciated that about him. I don't watch all of his movies, but I've always appreciated that in the stuff, things that he has done. So, I will definitely watch this, man. This looks like a really good time. It's probably going to be 3 hours long. If you call it Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1, well, you know, get in for an Avatar type Way of Water type movie that's 3.5 hours long. So get ready for it.
All right. A lot of horse riding.
Team, we have we have Horizon, an American Saga Chapter 1. We're going to throw this on our socials. Let us know your thoughts, team. What's your favorite Kevin Costner movie? More important, what is your favorite Western film? Let us know in the comments, team. All right, brother, you ready to jump into this week's movie?
Yeah, man. Sounds good.
All right. So we had to switch it up on him because of, you know, your whatever you got, your gunk, whatever you got going on there. But
yeah, wasn't trying to sit and sneeze and cough in the movie theater for like 3 hours. So
I feel you. I feel you, boss. Yes. But guys, so we will not be bringing you Dune this week, but next week is a whole nother week, guys. So we'll bring you Dune Part 2 next week. This week we have 10 Things I Hate About You. A little bit about this movie. This movie was released March 31st, 1999. There's a few other flicks that dropped that year. The Bone Collector, The Insider, The World Is Not Enough, The Green Mile, The Haunting, The Talented Mr. Ripley, and the first horror movie to have a black man survive. LL Cool J, thanks for the win, bro. Deep Blue Sea, baby. Deep Blue Sea. They killed the main black guy, but the cook survived. That's what I'm talking about there. Yeah, so yeah. Deep Blue Sea, baby. All right, guys. About 10 Things I Hate About You, directed by Gil Junger, is written by Karen McCullough and Kristen Smith.
We had a $13 million budget and we grossed $60.4 million.
Oh, yeah.
Starting this, we got Julia Stiles as Kat Stratford, Heath Ledger as Patrick Verona, Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Cameron James, Larissa Alignick as Bianca Stratford, Larry Miller as Walter Stratford, Andrew Keegan as Joey Donner, David Krumholtz as Michael Ekman, Susan May Pratt as Madela, Gabrielle Union as Chastity Church. Almost introduced William Shakespeare on here on accident.
Hey, man, I got you.
But he is not starring in this movie.
Well, kind of, but we'll talk about that here.
You know, it's a little out-of-body thing. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, brother, go ahead and give us that quick synopsis about this film.
Patrick Verona gets tasked with dating Kat Stratford in order for her sister Bianca to also be allowed to date. But Kat isn't into it for certain reasons, but ends up getting charmed by the second best looking person in this movie.
What? What are we talking about here? I was not expecting that. All right. All right, team. Let's start at the top here. We got Julia Stiles. Katrina, Kat Stratford, an antisocial, shrewish elder Stratford's sister. Now, we get her, and we get her from the jump as this young girl, you know, 18 or whatever, and very antisocial, but on purpose. And you can tell, right? She leans into it. She's not like the girl from Julia Jason Lee or something, whatever the heck her name was, from the movie with Freddie Prinze Jr., where she was literally like an antisocial, like art girl. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Kat tries to hate everybody and succeeds.
Yeah. Yep.
She doesn't date, nobody dates her. And you can see that the relationship is strained between basically every guy at school, even her teachers, even her guidance counselor, even her father and her sister, right? We do know through exposition that mom ran away, so mom is out of the picture. You have dad, sister, Kat, and then the high school. That's basically Kat's world, and everything that unfolds in there is her bringing vitriol towards everything but her best friend. Like, maybe she's just like... was over the top for the movie's sake, but like I just I try to like pinpoint when I watch these high school type movies, me pinpointing us back in high school and trying to figure like, okay, did we have a girl like that? Was a girl like that? And I couldn't pinpoint one. Maybe you got one, but that was Kat.
Gotcha.
We got Heath Ledger as Patrick Verona, the Australian bad boy hired to date Kat. Now, Heath Ledger, may him rest in peace, but he did this movie, man, and this was dope. Like, you know, very young, very pretty, good-looking guy. And the cool thing about this was he got to play a bad boy, but was not really a bad boy, right? I love through exposition and him and Kat getting to know each other, like all the tall tales about him were just made up because he's Australian. He's obviously Australian, so he's foreign. You know, he's got the accent, he's got the long dark hair. He's got the bad boy look, but he really has like a heart of gold. And that's what I appreciated, man. Like, he didn't lead into that asshole, I'm a bad boy, I'm a punch you type guy. I appreciated that a lot out of him.
Yeah, I mean, he was, he did kind of put himself out as a little bit of an outcast, like off-putting, I guess you would say.
Yes.
Like, when people kind of tried to talk to him, he was... just a little, it was off-putting, like the way the character was. And I don't know if that was portrayed because of, or if the other things kind of came about because he was like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, he just kind of didn't really care for, you know, being like Bianca, where he was like trying to be the most popular person in school. So kind of put himself in that corner where everybody thought he was just some weird guy.
And that's the draw between them two, right? Like, they actually, they do it. He does it in a very quiet way and lets his reputation just grow organically. Cause, you know, it's high school. Like, drama and stories and shit goes around.
You don't have to do much in high school.
You don't have to do much, yeah. But, like... But Kat was like, I hate you to everybody. So like story, her reputation, she created her own persona. But, you know, sometimes opposites attract. Sometimes, people, like-minded people are the same, but they just came from different sides of the track. You know what I mean? So that's what I feel out of those two. But they end up through... literally, I'm about to talk about it in a second, but the strangest scheme ever, those two fall in love, okay? Like, I don't get it.
Right.
I don't get it at all, but we're going to talk about it here. We got Joseph Gordon-Levitt here, and he's Cameron James, right? Did I say that right? Yep, Cameron James. And he's the new student at the high school who, day one, is just falls head over heels, almost like Romeo and Juliet head over heels for Kat's sister, Bianca. And he sees his North Star and he's just like, that's what I'm after. Right.
Right. Right.
And like, it could have been a very like cringy, stalker-ish thing, but it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and it's very young JGL, and it was just, like, harmless. It was just like, I want to marry that girl. I want to bring her home to mommy. Well, like, that was the vibe.
Yeah, he looked harmless, right?
Exactly.
Kind of what made it, like you said, simple. He's just a harmless little, he's very skinny, very kind of short compared to everybody else in the movie.
Yeah.
So he looked harmless. But his scheme that he kind of puts together seems like it should work out okay. In the end of the day, it was actually not the worst plan, to be honest with you.
Let's things happen. Let's talk about that just a few minutes here.
I am
really eager to get your insight on this plan because, like, I have seen this movie probably about 25, 30 times, right? And most of the time, I don't really pay attention because it's just one of those movies that, like, whatever. But I actually paid attention this time for this viewing. And I was like, well, yeah, we'll talk about it in a few minutes here. All right. We got Larissa Olnick as Bianca Stratton, the younger Stratford sister, superficial and popular, really good looking, and the apple of a lot of guys' eyes. Obviously, the girl that Cameron wants, but everybody wants to kind of get with her because she's very good looking.
Yeah.
Rock Skechers and a Prada bag. So, you know, very important.
That's how it was.
The interesting thing about the Stratford sisters is they are not allowed to date. Daddy Walter Stratford does not allow them to date. He is an optometrician and single parent who is way overprotective. And, like, I get it. I understand. I'll never be a father. I'll never be a father to girls. He gets into the way of their high school life.
Right. And then he kind of picks on both of them a little bit, right? So, you know, he knows Kat doesn't like people much, right? Besides, like, her one friend.
Yeah.
So he puts it all on her, like, hey, if Kat wants to date, then you can date too, and then kind of laughs it off like that'll never
happen. which in his mind, genius. I have a really standoffish daughter. I have a really standoffish daughter who hates everybody, doesn't want to talk to anybody, and just, you know, wants to get through high school so she can go to college. She's never gonna date somebody, so I don't have to worry about my younger daughter who is really popular and stuff, dating anybody. This is perfect. This is dad of the year, right? Like, is what he is thinking.
Mastermind. You know,
mastermind. Good word. but here comes this guy. And this guy is Andrew Keegan, is Joey Donner, an affluent, self-absorbed high school senior, aspiring model, has the nice car, has the good looks, has the good clothes. You know, he definitely tries to date Bianca, and that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. He wants to get with Bianca. He wants to date Bianca. He wants to take Bianca to prom. Obviously, it's a high school movie, so it obviously revolves around prom. Every high school movie,
does. Of course.
the spring fling, homecoming, prom. One of those events. There's got to be a dance. Okay, there's got to be high school kids dancing. If not, it's not a high school movie, damn it. Write that down. But he wants to take her there. And you can tell you have Cameron over here who genuinely likes her, genuinely wants to get to know her, genuinely thinks that there's more to her than the superficial side of Bianca. And then you have Joey, and he's just trying to get with her, yo. If you know what I mean. That's it. That's his big thing. Just trying to do the thing.
Something about the prom scenario just popped in my head.
What's up?
Would that be because you can't, like, send these high school kids to a bar, right, to go dance and kind of be away from their parents, right? Like this dance is, like, the only thing that apparently you can get away from your parents from is when you go to prom. Or go somewhere else and you're not underneath your parents' supervision.
Or when Bogey Lowenstein's parents go out of town and you could throw a big rager. You know what I mean? So those are the only two things.
But that's not adult sanctioned for all the parents.
Definitely not.
It's not okay to be like, I'm going to this party, but it's okay to be like, I'm going to spend a bunch of money and go to this prom.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's in every movie, dude. Can't go to the bar. But yeah, so the, so we have these two gentlemen, and one's being a gentleman, one's being a dog, and it's literally that fight. Now, let's talk about David Krumholtz, and then we'll talk about the scheme, the dumbest, smartest scheme ever. Okay, because that's where this movie really jumps into gear, is when they kick in this scheme. So we got David Krumholtz as Michael Ekman, a geek who assists Cameron in his quest to woo Bianca. I love his character because he is Cameron's the new kid. Michael's been there for a year or two already. So he is showing Cameron the ropes, saying, stay away from them, stay away from them. She's untouchable. You can try, and I'm going to help you because we're going to be good friends. But, like, it's a fool's errand. He keeps saying that until this plan. Okay. A lot of red lines and pens here, okay?
Yes, yeah.
All right. So, Dad, his new plan, like you said, if Kat dates, Bianca can date. If Kat doesn't date, Bianca cannot date. That's the rule. Okay?
Or go to the prom ends up being that as well.
Yes, yes.
If she leaves the house, then you can leave the house, basically.
Yes. Have your ass home before that damn streetlight comes on. So, is the rule. Unless your sister's going out dating. Whatever. Whatever. So, Dad says Kat can date. Bianca, you can date. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, Cameron, wants to date Bianca, needs to find a way to get somebody to date Kat. Cameron, Michael, no money. Cameron, Michael, go to Joey, who has money, who says,
"Yes,
hey, you should hire somebody to date Kat. So you,
an investor.
So you, yeah. Joey, can date Bianca." But in his head, Cam really wants to date Bianca.
Yeah.
Mistake number one, but that's beside the point there. So then Joey goes and gets Patrick to date Kat. I'm losing my own damn thread now, okay?
No, you're staying on it. You're staying
am
on
I
it.
Am I really? Okay. So,
as I'm putting this yarn up on this board behind me, for all you that aren't, watching YouTube, if you're on Spotify, you can go over YouTube. I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that right now, but I'm with you.
So, yes. So, Pat starts dating Kat. Patrick starts dating Kat. And Joey gets closer to Bianca, and Bianca kind of, and like Cameron makes his move, but she goes after Joey because he's got more money, he's good looking, all that stuff, whatever. He's bigger and stronger, naturally. Come to find out that he's an airhead. Oh, he's self-absorbed, only gives a shit about himself. And come to find out,
that kind of showed from the beginning.
Oh, step one. Scene, yes. So She turns around and is like, hey, Cameron, what's up? So they start doing a thing. Like, if Joey was not an airhead, Cameron's plan would have never worked. It just would have never worked. Because it almost didn't work. At the party, he was like, scrap it.
We're done. It was all on Joey. He was the one that made the plan go either way. So I don't know. It was a toss up from the get go.
It was a gamble. Yes.
Yeah.
If you think about it, Michael says we need a rich idiot. He says something along those lines, right?
We need a
backer. We need an idiot, a folly, and like,
Michael's a businessman.
They played Joey like a fiddle.
Right.
Like a fiddle. It's not an airtight plan. You know what I mean? Like,
not by any means whatsoever. It's an airtight. That was like a tarp on the back of a trailer the whole movie. It was just, it could just went at any time, just flopping around everywhere.
Kevin Hart's character in Lift would have been like, "No, we're not. That's a stupid ass plan. We're not doing this, guys. We're not. I'm taking over this heist right now. Okay."
Yeah.
All right. Just a few more people here. We got Susan May Pratt as Mandela, Cat's only friend, and aficionado of William Shakespeare who falls in love with Michael. Gabrielle Union as Chastity Church, Bianca's best friend who later becomes her enemy. And, like, it's Gabrielle Union. And the fact that she turned to her enemy was like, it was like that. Like, were we really friends? We were just friends superficially. We were superficial friends.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was that. My favorite character in the movie, Daryl Mitchell as Mr. Morgan, Kat's teacher. The English teacher, he was such an asshole to Joey the entire time. He was actually an asshole to all three of them.
So good. Yeah.
Even to the point where he was like, "Cat, are you messing with me? You're definitely messing with me. Take your ass in attention. I don't believe you." You know what I mean? Like, and a whole host of other people. We got Allison Janney as Miss Berkey. She's into erotic literature and a guidance counselor. Don't really know why she needed to be in this movie. But thank you a lot. And then we had Bogey Lowenson and some other people as well in this movie as well, man. Can we talk about the look and feel of this movie just for a second here, just for a quick second?
We got a couple seconds.
Why the hell do we not go to this dope ass castle looking high school?
We had like trailers and stuff outside of ours.
Had mold infested trailer that I had to go in at 7:30 every morning.
Just one story, one floor, flat roof, and trailers. That's what we had.
God. Remember when they threw the flyers for Bogey's party at like they were at the top of the stairs? It was like the stairs in Cobra Kai, you know what I mean? Where like Miguel fell. We didn't have stairs like that in high school. What the hell, dude? God.
But we also had nobody kick down them, so that's a good way to look at it, I guess.
That is a good way to look at it. You know what I mean? Very, very good point, sir. World. Safety first. You're the foreman on the job for the new school. You look at this spiraling stairs. Yeah, we can't. Yeah. We can't. The kids are gonna throw them effort down there. Yeah, this is a bad idea. Okay.
Don't go in the woods either. Don't go in the woods. You know.
Two things you never do. But like this movie was filmed in Washington State, okay? It was like filmed and also was based in Washington State there. This is an like obviously their dad's a doctor, but like that's just a gourd. That is like this is the richest of rich people, man. These are not poor people at all.
No, not at all. Not at all.
For 1999, yeah, Kat, you're driving a beater type car, but like, see that house? House is gorgeous, okay?
She drove it ironically, is what it was.
Exactly my point there, man. But I love it that they kept it really at the school most of the time. You know, we had the party, we had the prom, we had when they went to. They actually were at a bar where they met Patrick for a scene, and then they were at he went to a show and met up with Kat, had a drink, so you know there was some adult stuff going on there as well. But I like it that they kept it really at the high school and let those characters move in and out of there. That was kind of cool, man. They didn't spend that much time outside of the high school. And it almost seemed like they used every stitch of the high school too. That was also really cool. We saw the different classrooms, shop class, English class, right? The football field where they played soccer and stuff. Even the detention hall, wild scene. Please enjoy that team.
Oh yeah.
But it's a really cool, it's really cool visuals, man. The music, though. Music of the time. What do you think?
Yeah. Fairly typical of the kind of high school scene in most of these movies. But what was cool, though, is we had a lot of live music, right?
Yeah.
Like the, you said, they went to the concert. They were having fun at the concert. The prom music, the band there was popping. They were having a great time. That kind of stuff was really fun.
Oh yeah,
to see that in the movie and not just be, you know, just music in the background most all the whole time.
Yeah, man, I really enjoyed the different types of music that we got here. We got a lot of punk rock. You know, we got a lot of alternative, like, you know, turn of the century rock as well. But you know, they mixed it up there. You know, you had some Isley Brothers, you had some Biggie, you had Atomic Dog by George Clinton and the Funk. You know what I mean? So they really came through with a really dope soundtrack that really moved the story along. Like, it wasn't just the score in the background,
right?
But it was the actual song, the pop culture songs that was in and out of here, man, which I really definitely appreciated there. So big ups to that. Good job, Richard Gibbs, on the soundtrack, though. Man, I do have a theme here. If you have a second,
all right. Let me check. Yeah, we're good.
All right, good deal. All right. Theme number one. There's actually two here for two sex. Theme number one is being bold and going after what you want. In Cameron's case, it's his high school crush.
Right.
For Michael, it's being accepted and being cool, right? Finding his own self in high school there. For Bianca, from the get-go of the movie, right, it's just enjoying the full extent of her high school life and not let anybody or anything deter that, right? Obviously, like, her best friend a little bit, her friend at the time, her sister or her dad, right? And then the other theme is moving forward in life and not letting the past stop you. Kat, with how she is about literally everything in life, and then their father, who opens up and accepts that the girls will have lives post him, right? He can't keep them little girls forever. Yeah. He's gonna have to, let them spread their wings, right? They're a peacock. Let them.
I was teeing that one up. Brother, I was teeing up a little Marky Mark action there.
You gotta throw a little Marky Mark in there.
Yeah. Gotta let him fly.
All right, team. So that is our conversation about 1999's 10 Things I Hate About You. JV, your thoughts and ratings on this movie, brother?
Yes, sir. This one's going to get 3 buckets of popcorn from me this week.
Yeah, talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, solid movie. I've seen it quite a few times over the years. Not as many as you. But it's come across the desk a few times. Just a solid cast. I mean, you can't go wrong with the Julia Stiles, Heath Ledger, JGL, these guys that are all, you know, so young in their career, but were already doing great things.
Agreed.
And then you got, Larissa, Andrew Keegan. And then you got, like, Larry Miller, right? A guy you see and you know him from a movie, but you never know what movie you know him from. You just see him and realize that he's great in his roles, but what roles were they? You know, I could never think of another movie this man is in every time I see him in a movie.
Exactly.
Whatever, though.
He's one of those guys. He's the guy from The Thing.
Yeah, I know every time. I've seen him play in 800 movies, but I don't know what they were.
Mm. I mean, as recent as, like, 2018, you know, he's just been on it, man. Always been a good character actor in everything that he's ever done. Yeah. You know, just killing
tell
it.
Tell me another dude. Movie he was in besides this one.
The Chairman of the Board.
See how long it took you?
The Nutty Professor.
Yeah. Anyways, solid cast, man. But at the end of the day, it's a high school movie that has been made quite a few times.
You think? You think this type of movie has been made quite a few times here?
Yes.
You are strong in your convictions, young man.
Still a great movie, though. Still a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, babe?
Gotcha. You know, I always, like, wrap up these movies in that time, right? So this is a teen rom-com coming-of-age type film. You know, yeah. And at that time, like we will be discussing all season, teen, there was a lot during that time. And for me, this one just had really good writing. That's what I really appreciated it, man. Like, it's... It is based off of it is an adaptation of a very small play from William Shakespeare, The Taming of the Shrew. And I like this. I like what they did. I like how they modernized it. I love how all the characters interacted with each other and played off of each other. And even though the plan was not airtight, it was very flimsy, as you say. Like you said, it was a tarp on it, right? It is exactly how you would think it's going to play out. You have this plan. Yeah. Boy wants girl. Boy and best friend create weird oblong scheme to get girl. Right? Here's all the variables that we have to get through. Okay, how do we attack these? Boom, bam, boom, bam, boom. Yeah. We got to lie, we got to cheat, we got to steal. Not Cameron, but his associates in this, right? So going through this, the girls are going to find out. The girls are going to get pissed off. And at the end, there's going to be a damn band playing on the damn roof of your Castle High School. You know, this movie, hey, you're right. This movie has been seen so many times. For me, I still enjoy this, man. This is a good rewatch. This has been a good date night movie in my past, in my present, and it'll be in my future as well. It's just a good, like, let's post up on the couch, pop in a pizza, and watch 10 things, because this is a very cute, enjoyable, easy watch movie.
Agreed.
This one, man, this gets 4 buckets of popcorn. This is a solid, fun time, man. I love that it was the rise of Julia Stiles. It was a rise of Heath Ledger, JGL, and David Krumholtz, man. Like, I love Gabrielle Union as well, right? Allison Janney. So many great people in here that you just see, and you're just like, God, they went on to do great things. Great things. So, appreciate this movie, 4 buckets of popcorn. Hell, I might watch it again, bro. Thank you for subscribing to this week's episode, talking through 10 Things I Hate About You. Next week, we'll be discussing, finally, Dune Part 2.
You can catch that at a theater near you.
Like always, I am Clyde Smith. You can find me across all socials as I am Clyde D. Smith.
I am Javier Villalobos. You can find me across all socials at Mr. J8200.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.